Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs of all in one. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Kathleen Gilmartin of the Interim Healthcare Franchise Opportunity. Founded in 1966, Interim Healthcare is the oldest and most established healthcare franchise in the country, offering a full range of home care and healthcare staffing services. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we've got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Hey, I'm doing great, Marty. How are you this week?
Good, good. Same here. I was just thinking pretty soon we'll be playing the Christmas music, won't we, for the intro for the show.
I guess in another month.
it just goes by so fast, you know. We have an interesting show today, don't we, Don? We're meeting with Kathleen Gilmartin of Interim Healthcare Franchise Opportunity. And these guys have a pretty long history, don't they? It looks like it founded in 1966. So they've been doing this for a while now, haven't they?
They do both home care and healthcare staffing services. That's pretty interesting.
it's a pretty big industry too, the staffing services, right? I mean, we haven't really, you know, we've got into the whole, you know, senior care and home care, but I don't think we've spent a lot of time in the almost 5 years of doing the show on staffing, maybe once during that whole time. So they have, say, through, let's say, they have 300 offices, 65 staff, what is it, 65,000 people per day? I'm going to have to check on that number. It says, as the country's first healthcare franchise, we have the benefit of years of experience in every aspect of home care and healthcare staffing, from our policies and procedures to our employee training programs to our comprehensive sales and marketing systems. We offer the knowledge and expertise built over decades. And these guys can really say that, too, you know.
Right.
Again, they've been doing it a while. So, so it's going to be interesting to have Kathleen on the show today. Next week, Don, we're meeting with a franchise I know that you're familiar with, Charlie's.
Grilled Subs, Grilled Subs, right. Nice food franchise.
Yeah.
Been around for a long time.
I've been following those guys for a while now. It says Charlie was taking his family vacation when a missed exit brought him to South Philly. His first encounter with a local delicacy, a Philly cheesesteak, was love at first bite. Totally hooked, he brought his findings back home to Columbus, Ohio, and began testing the recipe on his college buddies. I mean, if you've ever had, I'm sure you've had, Don, a true Philly steak, cheesesteak, I mean, it really is out of this world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
You know, it's one of those things. I remember going into Philadelphia to see a football game, and my father-in-law and I stopping off at, like, one of these, like, dive kind of places, you know, and getting a cheesesteak, and it truly is. It's truly out of this world, you know. So,
yeah, put a little onions in there.
What's that?
Yeah, throw a little peppers and onions on there too.
Oh, absolutely! It's amazing, you know. And it's one of those things you can't just eat one. You know, you can't get a small one. You got to get two. You know, I mean, it's really that good. So, Cafe to You. I know you're familiar with these guys. We're meeting with those guys in November. And this is an interesting concept. We've had maybe one or two coffee franchises on the show, but these guys are kind of like portable, aren't they? The Cafe to You would be on board. Let's see.
Right.
I don't know a lot about them. Again, that's why we're having them on the show. But again, like they're
learn all about them. Yeah.
You know, so we'll learn about them on the show. But it sounded like an interesting concept. You know, so I said, yeah, I think that would be great to have them on the show.
Yeah, they're a mobile franchise, so I guess they go out
mobile,
and get their
okay.
business. Yeah.
I knew there was something about them that initially, when I heard about them, I said, wow, that's a cool concept.
Started in Australia. Australia.
They did.
Before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. And we've had some, you know, it's funny, the very first interview, franchise interviews ever did, when we started off as a newsletter, it was a franchise called Quick Curb. And I remember they were from Australia as well, so kind of interesting. Our last show, Don, we met with Randy Murphy, CEO to the Mama Foos franchise opportunity. And little information here, it says, while consumer interest in Asian food continues to sizzle, Mama Foos is confirming what it saw happening a few years ago, and anchoring itself as the segment leader. It's an interesting show because as we're listening to Randy's story, he's one of these franchisees that turned franchisor, didn't he? You know, where he kind of joined the franchise and is now running or steering the ship, you know, at Mama Foos. So, and
I guess
he
became
kind of
the largest franchisee and then and then bought the franchise system. I'm pretty
sure
he
believed in it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he's the owner. And, I mean, my mouth was salivating during that show. I mean, I thought it was interesting and a great idea to have all the different types of Asian cultures and food all in one location.
Yeah, what a great idea. You know, I think the way he described it, it was pretty cool how he described it. He said it was kind of like a greatest hits of all the different, like, Asian cultures, you know.
Right.
Food from Vietnam and, of course, Chinese food and Japanese food. And I can't remember one of the dishes he was describing, but one of them actually won some prestigious award for one of the food magazines. So a great show. It's a great concept. You know, they're not looking to, you know, grow too big, too fast, you know, which always, you know, makes me comfortable, you know, that they're not looking to conquer the world by next year and sell 30,000 of these, you know. So that was a good sign, too. So it was a good show. You know, again, it's one of those shows, it's killers for us because it typically makes us hungry. You know, you're always thinking about lunch.
Right.
After those shows, you know, and I guess Charlie's next week will be kind of like the same thing. You know, so what can you do? You know,
yeah.
It's good. So, and I know you have some interesting articles that we've been
reading. Yeah, Marty, here's from the Palm Beach Post by Emily Roach. Is a franchise business in your future?
Mm-hmm.
Pizza, frozen yogurt, bagel shops, child daycare, indoor playgrounds, tutoring, hair salons, home health care, who we're having a show
mm-hmm.
about today. If you want to buy a franchise, you can get into just about any kind of business. But the advantage of a franchise is not in the variety of options, but the benefit of buying into a company that has an established reputation and customer base. Because it's all been researched and developed, United Franchise Group CEO Ray Titus said, it's being used successfully by people in the business. The West Palm Beach-based corporation has over 1,400 franchises across five types of businesses and was recently recognized for the good stuff they're doing. More than 90% of franchises renew their agreements, the IFA Educational Foundation found. With contracts averaging 5 to 7 years, that means the rate of success is much higher than small businesses as a whole, says Matt Haller, spokesman for the IFA. The U.S. Small Business Administration statistics show that 7 out of 10 new businesses, ones that hire at least one person in addition to the owner, survive 2 years, but only half survive 5 years, Haller said. Buying into a franchise is an excellent opportunity, says Dick Sean, who retired after running Midas Muffler Shops in the Milwaukee area for more than 30 years. Ultimately, he owned six stores. I bought into it knowing entirely from day one I had potential customers. If I had opened Dick's Muffler Shop, he would have been an unknown foundering among a crowd of auto repair shops, he said. The pros, you have someone to go to for advertising, promotions, and business operational support, Sean says. The cons, cost more money than an unaffiliated business, and you lose some independence. It's a good way, just the pros and cons. You know, that really sums it up right there.
It's a great way to understand franchising, how, you know, again, he buys into a Midas franchise. I guess he ended up with six of them. And what he's basically saying is, if I did this alone and I called it, you know, Dick's Muffler Shop, he probably wouldn't even be there talking to you, you know, because, again, if you look at the statistics, he might have made it maybe 2 to 5 years. I mean, there's a chance he might have made it, you know, but it's a very powerful analogy at understanding the concept of franchising.
Just human nature. People driving along, where do I go? Midas, okay, I see them all the time. They've been around for years. They must be good. Just a better chance guy's going to pull in there.
Right, you don't think Dick's Mufflers, do you? I mean, if I said that to you, Don, if I said Mufflers, you know, I mean, chances are somewhere in the back of your head you're going to think, you know, Midas or Midas,
right.
Or a brand name. You're not going to say, okay, Dick's Mufflers.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't happen. So, again, the power of franchising, one of the hundreds of reasons, you know, that
he didn't do Midas,
works.
Maybe only had one, two, or three shops. Maybe he was out of business after 2 years.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's what you have to... He says here one of the cons is, hey, it costs them more money to get, you know, to start up the business. There's a franchise fee, get
mm-hmm.
royalties, and then you lose some independence. He wasn't going to be able to
be
entrepreneurial and make certain type of decisions because that might not be approved through corporate, through the franchise or corporate office at Midas.
Yeah, I mean, this gentleman obviously recognized what it takes to become successful in franchising, you know. And again, you know, you and I frequently say it is that franchising is definitely not for everyone. You know, if you are that entrepreneurial where you're constantly looking to, let's say, reinvent the wheel or you know, create new brochures and all this other stuff, it's going to be very frustrating
right.
to that type of individual, you know. And so this gentleman, you know, Dick, realized that. And, you know, again, there could be some, you know, frustration sometimes, I guess, with being a franchisee. But overall, it worked for him. Look at, you know, six of them. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Goes on. After 2 years in business, Marty Curran and his wife, Connie, love the Plato's Closet brand and are making a small profit. Their store in Palm Beach Gardens follows the franchise's model of buying and selling gently used clothing and accessories that are in style for 12 to 24-year-olds. It's a tough economy, but this particular business model that we have is one that's conducive to business in this economy.
Right.
They chose the store after shopping there. This is Marty and Connie said that they weren't initially looking to open a business. She drew a small salary, but his hours were voluntary. The initial buy-in was about $20,000. They pay a 5% royalty a month. The customer support that they provide us as franchisees is just phenomenal. You've got some companies that you can get into franchise, and they just want to take your royalty fee each month. Corporate representatives for Plato's Closet, part of Windmark Corp., review the store's reports weekly, visit several times a year, and give constant feedback. And Curran said he can call any other store owner and get advice. You know, running the store may be a lot of work, but he said he recommends it. I actually enjoy coming into the store. I enjoy getting out on the floor. My wife and I employ 11 people right now. We're providing employment for an age group, teens to young adults, that right now is hard.
I like how, first of all, that was their real names. I thought you were just messing with me when you said Marty and Connie.
Yeah, I did make up Connie.
I just know what you know. I said he's got to be just, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, sharing best practices, Don. You know, I like how this gentleman, Marty, you know, said he could just call up any franchisee at any time and you know, bounce something off of them, you know. And that's
right.
the power of sharing best practices. And, you know, go back to, you know, the example of the gentleman saying, okay, what if I went in and owned a muffler shop on my own, Dick's Mufflers? Well, that gentleman wouldn't be able to do something like that, would he? I mean, he's on his own. You know, so everything he does is on his own. And some things he may try and he may have to put money into it. And you know what? Someone else may have tried it and it didn't work, you know. So, again, the power of franchising to me has always been, you know, the sharing of best practices. You can call, you know, your fellow, you know, teammates up and say, you know what, I'm thinking of doing this or that. And, you know, what do you think? What works? What doesn't work? That's power, you know, or the power of franchising.
So
yeah,
Zahn says, yeah, says evaluating your aptitude. Sean, who's, you know, again, the retired Midas franchise, he said it's important to know what kind of business owner you want to be before buying into a franchise. Are you ready to get in the trenches and work hard? Do you know enough about business to not get snowed? And he suggests choosing a business you know something about. I think you have to find something you like, he says. If you like people and want to have employees, Titus said you should look for a retail store, such as his corporation Signorama and Embroidery franchises. If you like the transactional side of things, you may be more suited to a home-based business. I always recommend people who have no experience in the food business to stay away from running a food business, he says. You've done the self-evaluation, you have to take a hard look at any franchises that you are considering. Are both the franchise owner and the franchisee successful? Sean strongly suggested a franchise operation that has a franchisee group capable of negotiating with the franchise owner, not just an advisory council appointed by the company. Does the franchise provide enough support for the money it takes in fees, royalties, and required purchases? You don't want to get stuck in a situation where you're overpaying for everything you do because it's in your franchise agreement. Then it goes into evaluating the cost. As far as costs go, franchises have upfront fees, monthly royalty fees, and sometimes other required costs such as mandatory training or buy-in to promotional programs. And companies often set a minimum net worth and require an amount of cash available for operating costs. Franchises can be expensive to start, which is probably the biggest disadvantage, as Georgia Abbott, director of Alden B. Dow Center for Creativity and Enterprise, at Northwood University.
Mm-hmm.
I think $70,000 to $500,000 just to buy in, she said. That can be a very difficult amount of cash for an upstart buyer.
Of course.
She's talking about a regular person or a couple who wants to start their own business or maybe open a franchise as an investment. I mean, it's all in your initial review. There's very expensive franchises. There's inexpensive. There's very well-established ones. There's, you know, there's newer ones. You got to do all your due diligence. Want to own a burger chain? Hardee's Burgers, operating as part of CKE Restaurants, is developing franchise areas in the Florida market. But a franchisee must have a minimum net worth required of upwards of $1 million and can't expect to invest at least $1.1 million in the business.
Wow.
So it's all, you know, there's like all different levels along in franchising.
That's a pretty big commitment, isn't it, when you're just $1 million, you know? It's
right.
Heavily vested into something like that. But it's a great article because, again, it always goes back to, you know, a lot of the basics that we talk about here on the show. You know, franchising is, and I forget who said it, is a means to an end. What do you want this franchise to do for you, Don? You know,
right.
You know, just because you fall in love with the product, yes, it is true that if you try a Charlie's Grilled Sub, chances are you're going to love it, you know, but that is not enough reason to buy into the franchise, is it? You know,
right.
Say, oh, my God, this is incredible. I want to own one of these. You don't have to do that. You could just buy the sub every day, you know, without actually owning the franchise. It may not fit into your lifestyle. I think the article, excuse me, mentioned what kind of franchisor do you want to be? Are you looking to get into this to spend more time with your family, you know? Do you want to, you know, be home, you know, when your child arrives home from school, you know, and perhaps you'd be looking towards like a home-based type of business opportunity? So it gets back into the whole self-evaluation process, which I think really gets into sometimes the whole psychology
right.
of the whole thing, doesn't it? You know, I mean, asking those deep-rooted questions sometimes is very important. It's so much work, you know. When you get into this whole process, you know, of researching a franchise, I mean, again, you're looking at like 3,000 different systems, you know, and then you got to narrow it down to industry, and then within that industry, you have all these other different choices, you know, and
right.
It's just so much work, you know. I mean, it's sometimes 6 months to a year. We've had a lot of franchisees on the show throughout the years that said, you know what, my search took me over a year to find that right opportunity. So, yeah, absolutely. That's interesting.
And then toward the end of the article, Marty, it goes over evaluating the benefits. Starting as a franchise can be dramatically different from starting an independent business. Jack Sinney started several businesses from scratch long before he and his wife bought the Plato's Closet franchises in the mm-hmm. Florida area. The franchise system takes care of the processes, the infrastructure such as a computer system and marketing, and often gives you a network of fellow franchisees to work with
mm-hmm.
for discount ad rates, he said. That leaves the business owner able to focus on success. If someone's going to start a business and it's not super unique, I don't know why they wouldn't try a franchise model, he says. Menchie's corporate support was valuable recently to Charles Ladowski as he tried to open a second frozen yogurt shop. He runs the business for a son and a partner and opened in Palm Beach Garden 3 months ago. When a construction issue comes up, they are Johnny on the spot to assist us with the general contractor, whoever needs something, he says. In many franchise systems, new owners attend training with other new franchisees and form networks for support and shared advertising. There's a lot of camaraderie and team building, he said.
Hmm.
In any business, most businesses, there's just so many different levels of things that you have to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, look at that. I mean, had an issue with you know, some of the build out costs, which can cause
right.
you know, big delays. Hey, you call up the franchise system, they work it out real quickly.
Exactly. I mean, I think they all have their war stories, you know. And again, it goes back to something that they said, you know, is the sharing of best practices. I think it can be very lonely sometimes as a new business owner, don't you think, Don? You know, I mean, again,
right.
you, it seems like you're doing everything, you know, you're wearing all the hats. I think it's nice to have that comfort, you know, to be able to, you know, call up the franchisor or call up your, you know, you probably become friends with some of these other franchisees over time as well, you know, and you could just kind of, you know, share war stories, you know, and learn
right.
From each other as well. So I think that's really important. I mean, some of these articles are really very well written. You know, you can tell that the writer certainly did their homework.
Right.
So,
I have another article, Franchisees Who Grew Million-Dollar Businesses, that we can get into next week, a couple of rags-to-riches type stories that are interesting that happened in franchising.
All right, good. That sounds good. Why don't we do this? Our guest hasn't called in yet, but typically what happens is once we play the commercials, the guest typically calls in. So why don't we take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews. That was a great article, Don. Good job.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth Advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs of 1-1. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Kathleen Gilmartin of the Interim Healthcare Franchise Opportunity, and founded in 1966. Interim Healthcare is the oldest and most established healthcare franchise in the country, offering a full range of home care and healthcare staffing services. Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing today? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Marty. Thank you so much. I appreciate being here.
Thank you. It's our pleasure, Kathleen. Kathleen, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Kathleen as well.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on, Kathleen.
You're welcome, John. Thank you.
Quite a historic company starting in 66, so we have a lot to talk about.
Good.
Absolutely. We always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning, Kathleen?
I'm calling from Sunrise, Florida, which is our franchisor headquarters, and that's just west of Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, good. How's the weather down there today?
It is absolutely gorgeous. Looks like the postcard.
I figured so. I think you have an interesting background, Kathleen. What were you doing before joining Interim Healthcare?
Well, I'm a registered nurse by background and training, and I was working in hospital management as a nurse before I actually joined Interim Healthcare back in the early 80s.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, interesting how nurses can be in any kind of role they want these days, and in healthcare there's no lack of opportunity.
That's for sure. Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about the history, Kathleen, of Interim Healthcare.
Well, I know we got limited time, but the history is so rich and interesting for Interim Healthcare. I'll just try to give you the cliff notes. But the roots of the company do go back to 1966. And really, the company grew out of the concept of providing nurses and other healthcare professionals to staff hospitals and nursing homes, and then actually follow those patients home to help them recuperate. So simple concept. You know, need and demand, and now over the last four decades, we've actually grown to give a full continuum of home care and staffing services across about 38 states right now and 325 offices.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Kathleen, because a lot of people think that this is like this new industry. You know, we talk about your industry, you know, that it's something new, but it's really been around quite a long time, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And what's so interesting is that the dynamics in the U.S. healthcare system is that almost all of the care started at home. And most people today still prefer to be treated at home. But we evolved, and certainly hospitals and other facilities have their place. But the nature of home care has always been there, in fact, for more than 100 years, realistically and in the research. So it's much older than people think, but in our business world, there really wasn't a move to have home care be franchise opportunities, and Interim Healthcare was the first one to do that.
And tell us, specifically what your franchise system does. I mean, it's not just home health care. It's staffing, a whole other, division.
Well, when I use that term, full continuum of care, and that really means that it's everything from care at home that could be supportive and assistance. And, I take my mom as an example, who's 84, and, she needs to just have some help with activities of daily living and some meal planning and, the things that, getting to appointments. But, she's pretty independent, but she needs that little bit of help, to all the way to the other side, where we have very complex patients at home that require skilled nursing, therapy. And most recently, over the last few years, we've had our franchisees expand into the hospice area, which is really supportive care at the end of life, and provide really an environment where people can maintain their dignity at home and have all their family around them as they face that end of life.
Yeah, it's an important franchise. Don and I have always called this a feel-good type of franchise, Kathleen, where, you have the opportunity to make money, but at the end of the day, I think feel good about yourself that you're doing something important. My father's, we're in this position right now of our lives where my dad has Parkinson's disease, and it's moving into a new level now where he's forgetting things, and it's not safe anymore to leave him home by himself, So, these types of services are really just so important to the family.
Well,
you're
like many of us. We're living through those stages in our own lives, and as this generation ages, and we certainly have the boomers now coming in, to the 65 bracket.
Right.
What we have found is that the need for the business is just continuing to build. So whether you look at the demographics or you look at the cost of healthcare, we're really in the right place at the right time, and I think that's why you're going to see so much attention to the kind of franchise we have, where if you're really a dedicated person, you understand what it takes to deliver a really personal service to people who are really most fragile, most in need, and they've really extended the other resources of family and friends and probably tried to make, things okay without having to get any other professional support, and that's where we love the fact that we can come in with, if it's a little bit of service and it's some personal care and support, and then as the needs change and the acuity level changes, our franchisees can meet that because we take and offer them the full continuum of services. They certainly have to be trained for that. This isn't I liked your word about it's a feel-good kind of industry. I think it's because people feel they're giving back and they're providing
right.
something that is really meaningful. It doesn't at all diminish that it is a very rigorous business. It
right.
is something that takes a lot of hard work and not only, you know, the equity to build a business, but then the, what I call the sweat equity to
mm-hmm.
operate it every day, to be hands-on. This is a business that you are engaged in every single day.
Absolutely.
I hope that helps give you a little bit of a picture because we're really passionate about what we do.
It does. No, and we can sense the passion, too. You know, Don and I were talking about the benefits of franchising in segment one, Kathleen. And, I mean, it's great for your franchisees that they have this ability to say, you know, well, you know, we've been in business since
mm-hmm.
1966,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and learning from all of your experience, you know, that you've accumulated throughout the years. I mean, that's just powerful, you know, for someone to go at this alone. You know, I think the example, Don, we were using like Dick's Midas or Dick's Muffler Shop.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know, it doesn't have as much power as saying like Midas or Meineke or something like that.
Well,
know?
I think
so,
the, you know, the days of, you know, Marty's nurses, Marty would have
mm-hmm.
to create all of the systems and procedures and policies. And,
right.
you know, it is a myriad of really dynamic things that are going on, and all of them are moving pieces that... Healthcare is, by its nature, a more regulated business with
mm-hmm.
the complexities of laws and HR and clinical. So you have all that in there. I think the value that a franchise brings, and especially interim healthcare with our 4 decades of evolving these systems, is that there is a very strong framework and foundation so that franchisees still infuse their own culture, their own personality, and you never want to lose that because healthcare is a local business, and home healthcare
mm-hmm.
and staffing is a
right.
very local business. But if you then can focus on what you bring as your own culture and instill that, you know, those core values into your employees, you can do it within the framework of already having all the strong systems to work with. And I think that's really, our franchisees would tell you that, you know, that to them is the greatest benefit we provide them, is they don't have to worry about waking up at night and saying, how do I deal with that new HR, you know, reg, or what do I do with this new healthcare regulation? And certainly there's plenty of them in the pipeline.
That's part of the royalty, the ongoing support, the training, because
right.
industries change
right.
and get that initial training and getting the support and, you know, of other franchisees in the system. And you know, we've had, Marty, a few, senior care type franchises.
Mm-hmm.
The industry's really exploded over the last few years,
yes.
Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it really helps
yeah.
that you guys can say you've been doing this since the mid-60s. I mean, that's a big selling point.
Yeah.
Well, I think tenure in the industry and over time you prove your reputation and your worth. But the other is that, you know, while we do provide, our new franchisees come in at that senior care, healthcare staffing level, and we train them through, you know, all our series of on-site training here at our headquarters, our requirement that they become certified senior advisors and go through that rigorous course and get that credential, you know, then we go on-site in their location. So all of that training, I can tell you, we are pretty rigorous and demanding about it. But once the franchisee has established themselves and then demonstrate success at that level, they aren't just kept there. They have the opportunity to be able to go into skilled nursing and therapy and even hospice if that's their desire. But it's like moving up that escalator. As they get their proficiency and competency and success at their first levels of business and senior care, some may want to stay there and just build bigger and have more locations. But I think the fact that as the healthcare needs of the patients you first see and the first clients, they're going to age in place is kind of the term we use, and they will need more things. And the benefit of interim healthcare is we've already built all of those systems all the way through the hospice service line. So it's exciting, but it also gives franchisees a lot of the flexibility. They control and are at the wheel of, you know, what things do I want to do? We can
right.
give them the benefit of our experience of what are the milestones and the benchmarks, and then, you know, put them through the training that they need to ascend to that next level.
That's great. Who are your franchisees, Kathleen? I mean, what have been, like, some of their backgrounds? Like, what were they doing in their past life before becoming a franchisee.
No, that's really the interesting mix of this business is we have franchisees that come from all walks of life, and you're correct in that almost all of them come with some background or career that they held responsibility. So we've got people who come from financial backgrounds, have run businesses, been controllers. They see the value of understanding the business model. We've got people who come from healthcare, so they understand the nature of the industry in terms of its regulatory process and the infrastructure, and sometimes even clinicians, nurses, and social workers can then take our system and be very successful entrepreneurs. We have other people who come from, you know, teaching backgrounds, some who come from, you know, backgrounds that are either in other industries of retail or hospitality. But what draws them is the fact that they see the drivers of the healthcare business, and they have to really have a what I call sort of that in-your-gut passion to want to take care of people, because while it does feel good and you get a lot of satisfaction from managing, you know, to help people be independent and stay at home, you really come face-to-face with all the trials and tribulations of a people business. Be it your caregivers and nurses or your clients and their families. So, you know, not everybody sits around thinking, oh, gee, honey, I think I'd like to buy home care next month. You know, they know that when they need that, it is a very real, tangible need, and then the big decision is who do you bring into your home.
Right.
Yeah, that's well said. And I think that diversity adds to the franchise as well, Kathleen. We were talking about that in segment one as well, you know, is the sharing of best practices from, you know, their past life and experiences. It does. I think it makes the franchise more powerful. So I think that's well said.
Well, we try to make sure that we leverage the expertise that our franchisees have because, you know, I think you probably knew earlier, but our average franchisee has a tenure of 25 years with us. So we've got many who, in fact, I just was at a franchise celebrating their 30th and one last week for their 21st. And what we do is we have our council of franchisees who do help us, you know, meld that experience to help other franchisees. We have a clinical council which takes representatives from some of the most successful and then some of the newest franchisees so that they also help drive some of our clinical changes. And I find those are, frankly, some of our most exciting meetings because it's almost like you've got so much brain power in a room and they are so willing to help and craft and develop what are the new innovations of our business.
And I've heard that, too, is a lot of times, you know, the successful franchisees, they are. They're very willing to share, you know, their successes, you know, what's worked well for them. And, again, another benefit of getting into franchising is you're not by yourself. You know, you have this ability to call the franchisor or, you know, other franchisees, and I guess they become like friends over time as well. So it really is
Well, I think we see that because of the characteristics that they have. They are just incredibly dedicated, high integrity. They are people. You know, by nature, they love being around people. Most of them, I would probably say, are more on the extroverted side. And so they are constantly seeking solutions. And it makes for a good combustion that really helps us grow.
Yeah, well said. How about technology, Kathleen? How has technology played a role in your business today? I mean, again, 100 years ago, there wasn't much technology.
Well, I can tell you from the early 80s, from my own experience working in Cincinnati, Ohio, for the interim healthcare franchisee, we were on paper. All of our scheduling was on paper. You know, every bit of the HR file and all the customer intake and all the clinical data. The only thing that actually had a computer was to produce the invoice or the healthcare claim form. Today, technology is driving so much efficiency and effectiveness. We do have a IT system that is required for all of our new franchisees, and many of our existing franchisees are on it. And it was actually a proprietary system that we developed within Interim Healthcare. And today we've got point-of-care devices, as they're called, and they can be laptops. We just saw at the meeting we were at that our nurses are now using iPads to be able to go in and do their assessments. You know, we use some of the technology that's, you know, telephone technology for being able to check in and check out, you know, when you're at clients' homes and validate,
right,
you know, time of arrival and things of that nature. But now there's so much more demand that, you know, you have to have automation. And I look at automation in two ways. One is it has to be able to drive efficiency and lower cost. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, the kinds of things that are available today to use for scheduling purposes to speed the whole training, orientation. We do lots of continuing education units that are required for many of the professionals that provide care, and they can do that online 24/7.
Wow.
So they come into our intranet. So we've probably put in the last 5 years millions of dollars into really helping expand the technology that works in the home health and staffing setting. And then there's technology that is outside of us in terms of what kinds of treatments can be done at home and what kinds,
mm-hmm,
of tools are aides and therapists and nurses using now that, you know, they didn't use before. Everything from what we call telemonitoring, but, you know, something that literally plugs in your home that, you know, can do your blood pressure and take your weight and automatically be sending that to our offices and also to your physician if needed. So I think we're going to see that as some of the fastest growing. Healthcare wasn't the first to drive the technology platforms, but now that they've gotten there, you know, and this is sort of that connectiveness that's going on with healthcare reform, so that we all are on some sort of common highway of technology, so that we can share information, you know, appropriately. So it's pretty exciting. I'm probably not the most technologically advanced person, but I certainly have, you know, between iPhones and iPads and, you know, understanding how
right,
our proprietary system works, we've come quite a ways, and I think that everyone's going to expect that. It's not going to be, you know, looked at as startling or some
right,
luxury in your business. It's going to be, you know, mandatory.
Necessity, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool stuff.
I imagine, yeah, it's certainly come a long way. You know, even the whole online education thing. I teach for Kaplan University, which is one of the bigger online universities.
Oh, sure, know them very well. Great reputation
in the U.S. Thanks, and it really is amazing that, you know, how you can, you know, teach your franchisees that they don't have to go to a central location anymore, or fly someplace. It really does save a lot of money, and it's
mm-hmm,
just it really is. I think it's very exciting. What would a typical day be like for a franchisee? I mean, again, it's always a tough question to ask our guest on the show, but is there such a thing as like a typical day for one of your franchisees?
I you know, I'd be hard-pressed to say there's a typical day, but
mm-hmm,
what I would tell you are some of the common denominators I think all franchisees go through. And, you know, one is that, you know, they don't work a 9-to-5 job.
Right, right.
They are usually in their operation early, and it's almost much like the other industries or even law enforcement has sort of a stand-up roll call meeting. Typically, most of our franchisees like to have a, you know, what's the status of, you know, whether we're caring for, you know, 50 patients today or we're caring for 500, sort of what is top of, you know, the radar this morning. How about in recruitment? Where are we in terms of our staffing and our ability to serve? What's new requests? So there's kind of a process of looking at what is in each of the corridors of the business. It's a people business, as I said before, so the in-office is typically staffed with, you know, full-time professionals who are both from HR backgrounds and could be interviews going on, group orientation.
Right.
Then you also have a lot of our caregivers come into those offices and, you know, check on their assignments. They have paperwork they have to turn in. They know their schedulers very well, so they're always trying to, you know, manage the flexibility of the needs of clients and the needs of the caregivers and make that match. So that's always very dynamic, and that's, when I say 24/7, that goes on all the time because we're always connected. The days of
right,
having kind of answering machines or answering service is gone because you're talking to the live person who's managing your case or your schedule. I think there's lots of development on the communication, whether it's, you know, in-person meetings. Franchisees typically go and actually visit some of their clients, whether they're facilities or their people in their homes, because they want to stay connected to are we doing the right service? Are you pleased with the service? What could we do more to help? And then there's always the business side, and most of them tend to even do some of that from home and on the weekends. But, you know, looking at your critical indicators, what are your key performance drivers? And then there's, you know, the very real things of, you know, payroll has to be completed. Their employees are paid every week, and the customers have to be billed based on whether it's a private pay or an insurance carrier or, you know, it's a government payer. So it is a very full day for pretty much every franchise that's operating their business.
That's interesting.
Yeah, just it kind of gives you, I guess, a flavor, but it's there's all the other things that happen impromptu. And, you know, when you're caring for people and your employees are really the key to having business, so an employee or a client always comes first. So they will trump something else needing to be done. Those two things would be addressed first.
What advice would you give to our listeners, Kathleen? We would call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. You know, they have this idea that, you know, they want to buy a franchise. Yeah, but you know, it's difficult today. You know, as Don was saying earlier, you know, 11 years ago when Don and I got into franchising, this industry was kind of new. There wasn't a lot of players. You guys were certainly around in that time, but you know, over that time, and I know you've seen this. You know, it seems like a lot of new senior care franchises are popping up.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, what advice would you give to our listeners as far as, you know, looking to buy a franchise? Because we think it's more complicated today than probably ever before, because there's like about 3,000 different systems out there today.
Where do you begin? Well, where I kind of begin is you really have to be thoughtful about it. And it isn't something that should be, you know, flavor of the day, gee, I feel like doing this, or I've had a bad day, or I'm making a job change. I think I always tell our franchisees, this is a life-changing decision. It is life-changing for your career. It will impact your family. It will build, hopefully, your retirement. And so it is life-changing, and not to underestimate that. I also really advise them to listen and explore, but always to heed the advice of those who have gone before you. And if you're looking at, you know, a fast food, you know, talk to those people who are in that business. They will tell you, here's what it's like. So you kind of take away the aura of the honeymoon of it sounds great to, you know, what does it really look like day in and day out?
Right.
And I think sometimes people who are aspiring to be entrepreneurs think, you know, at the high level, and so when I, you know, try to not be overly dramatic, but it's life-changing. So would you make a decision to change your life in any other way without doing a lot of due diligence, without listening to people who are in it, and then really heeding the advice you get? If you complete those two pieces, then I tell them you just have to commit to work extremely hard and to decide you're going to be dedicated to this for the long term. Because you really don't enter healthcare, and it takes time to learn it. It takes time to build a business and build a reputation. And so once you've done that, and we go to the limits to help you do that, and you've got the advantage of a large network, but they have to hold themselves accountable for producing the results. And so, you know, those are kind of the four things I always try to have conversations with when I talk to prospects or we have a discovery day. I really want them to make the best decision, and we look at it that way too. We try to really challenge ourselves about, you know, let's look at this for the long term. Is this the right franchisee? Do they have the staying power? Are they going to commit to working as hard as it's going to take to do this business?
Right, it's a two-way street, so that's so important to building the system. That was a great answer. Seems like there's a lot of good things going on with your company. Of course, a lot of history. You're diversified with a couple different services. It's a franchise system. During these times, I'm just a big proponent of having multiple services. And I guess that's why your company has grown. and that people can have a couple different profit centers.
Yes, and it's like anything else. You know, we're going to continue to innovate. I would expect that, you know, we'll continue to add different services as both technology will drive some of it, the demographics will drive some of it. But I do think one of our key advantages is being able to provide that full continuum and not having to change brands or go and get a different brand. You know, all of that takes more than sometimes people are willing to do, and it can be confusing. I think our interim healthcare umbrella of services allows somebody to come in and start at that level with the senior care and what we call really non-medical in most cases, and do staffing, and then they can incorporate the other service lines as they grow, and we have dedicated training programs that they then have to go through. You just don't decide, you know, one day that you're going to do this. You have a plan, you have a budget, you have training requirements. So I think I've always found being prepared helps predict you're going to be successful. And we try to follow that ourselves.
Absolutely. So what are your plans for the future then, Kathleen? I mean, again, you guys have had a long history. What's next for you? It sounds like, I mean, you will be looking to, you know, other things, of course, but as far as, like, growth goes.
Sure. Well, we're ambitious in that, you know, in the next probably 4 years, we'd like to see our network sales reach that $1 billion mark. That's kind of an aggressive goal for us, but we always like to set our bar high and, you know, not be afraid to miss it, but, you know, to really stretch ourselves. Today we've got about 325 locations. We would like to see our network grow to 500 locations. Both a combination of selling new franchises who are starting at that senior care level, but also our legacy, what we call our legacy existing franchises, also grow market share by opening new locations. So we're working on some strategies that will help us do both of those better and faster. And then on the business side of the services, we are looking at what other services will be demanded as this, you know, change and the drivers of healthcare change. We think that there probably are other services that are of clinical specialty natures.
Mm-hmm.
We think that there's probably going to be some growth in this hospice area and what's called palliative care. That's another service that we are investigating and doing our research on. So I think we're going to continue to evolve to meet and hopefully stay ahead of what the needs are for people who are going to be getting health care at home, recuperating at home, managing chronic diseases at home. Which I think is going to be a key part of where those of us who are approaching that boomer age, and that I'll be in that group, I think we're better educated, and I think we'll have higher demands and expectations from the providers we work with.
That's fantastic. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on your franchise? Are there any websites they can go to?
Yes, they can go to interimhealthcare.com. We've got a website. We also have a franchise development. Rich Pidius is our VP of Development, but by all means, they can feel free to reach out to us, and I appreciate you giving us some time to have this great conversation with you today.
Fantastic, Kathleen. We'd like to have you back as you guys continue to grow. We'll definitely have you guys back next year.
Well, thanks, Marty and Don. I appreciate the time, and you have a great day, and we are making a difference.
Absolutely.
Good job, Kathleen. Thank you very much.
That was a great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, she was very good at you know, explaining everything calmly
very
and thoroughly.
You know,
yeah,
and experience and
loves the business and the industry.
Absolutely, it's just so important, you know. So, great show. So, for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com, franchiseworldradio.com, and I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Have a great day, Marty. Good job.
Have a great day. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Bye bye.